Star Walker Studios presents Game Master's Journey, your multidimensional RPG podcast. Hello, fellow gamer. Welcome to episode 131 of Game Master's Journey, your multidimensional RPG podcast. I'm Lex Starwalker, and on this show, we discuss the craft and art of game mastering. Not only do I pass along any wisdom I've gained over 25 plus years of running RPGs, I also share wisdom from guest GMs and listener GMs like you. Today, I'm going to return to the topic of gaming between sessions. How do we keep the story going and keep players engaged in between our gaming sessions? I've got some great ideas from listeners that I'll share with you today. So if you want to check out the first part in this series on gaming between sessions, check out episode 129 of the show, in which Shane from the Total Party Thrill podcast joined me, and we had a great discussion on that in episode 129. So today I'll be sharing some more ideas from listeners. So if you're a longtime listener of the show, welcome back. Great to have you. If you're a new listener, welcome to the show. Hope you enjoy it. Now, one thing that I like to do at the top of the show is solicit feedback from you on topics that I want to discuss in future episodes, because, you know, I try as much as I can to share what I've learned in my experience as a GM, but we can all learn so much more if it's more than just my thoughts and ideas, and I bring in as many ideas of yours as I can as well. So another topic that I'm going to be discussing in the near future is how to handle the situation you find yourself in as a GM when you've given the player characters too much. Whether it's too much money, too many magic items, too powerful of weapons, too much technology, whatever it is, we've probably all been there as GMs where we realize that we've been too generous and things have gotten out of hand and it's creating problems. I mean, obviously, if it's not creating problems, then don't worry about it. But what I want to talk about is, what do you do when you're having problems at the table because you've given out too much stuff? How do you solve that situation? So I have a link to this topic in our Game Master's Journey community, and you can find that link in the show notes for episode 131 at starwalkerstudios.com. Now, one of the many things that I like to do on our community for the show is occasionally post polls to see what you all think about various things. And one of these that I posted back in October, took me a while to get to this one, is do you run published adventures in 5th edition? And since the majority of official products that we've gotten for 5th edition D&D have been in the form of published campaigns and or adventures, I was curious how many of you are actually using these. So I put up a poll and I had four options in the poll. The first option was that you run primarily published adventures. The second option was that you run a mix of published adventures and adventures you create yourself. The third option was that you run your own adventures, but you use published adventures for encounters, NPCs, locations, and things like that. And then the fourth option was that you only run adventures of your own creation. And the results of this were actually fairly interesting. I got 220 votes in the poll. And of those 220 votes, the winner at 37%, and we had a fairly even spread, but the winner, barely, at 37%, was running a mix of published and your own adventures. So 37% of the people are doing a mix. The next at 28% was running only adventures of your own creation. And then after that at 27% was running primarily published adventures. So 37%, 28%, 27%, those are all pretty close. And then only 8% of people were running their own adventures, but using published adventures for ideas and encounters and NPCs and stuff like that. So that was pretty interesting. I was surprised that so many people are either running primarily or only published campaigns or are running a mix, and that only 28% of the 220 people that responded to this poll are running only adventures of their own creation. So that was definitely not what I expected to see. I thought that the majority of people would be running their own stuff and the number of people running only published stuff would be relatively small. But I was wrong. There's roughly equal numbers of people either running only published stuff, running a mix, or running their own stuff. It's a pretty even spread. So that's really interesting, enlightening. So that was a poll that I published in October, and if you want to participate in these polls, just keep an eye out on the Game Master's Journey community over on Google+. And every once in a blue moon, I post one of these polls, and you can definitely participate. But we got a really good response to this one, 220 responses. That's pretty good. That's a good sample size. I'm sure Wizards has a much better sample size, but they're not sharing their data with us, unfortunately.
This is Shane from the Total Party Thrill podcast, and you're listening to Lex Starwalker on Game Master's Journey.
I want to give a quick shout out to the patrons of Starwalker Studios. The support of the patrons makes this show possible. If you enjoy Game Master's Journey and you'd like to give a little back, becoming a patron is a great way to do so. Patrons get some cool perks like game material I make for Primordia and access to a special monthly podcast I produce just for the patrons. I'd also like to give a huge shout out and thank you to my tier 4 patron, Mr. Steve Strickland. Let's hear it for Steve.
Yeah.
Yes.
You the man.
Thank you so much, Steve, and thank you to all the patrons. You can find out more about becoming a patron by clicking on the Patreon button at the top of the show notes at starwalkerstudios.com. All right, so today we're returning to the topic of keeping your game going between sessions. And again, we discussed this a little bit on episode 129, and we're going to dig into it more today. And I've been soliciting ideas from listeners like you for a while now. And so today we're going to share some of those with you. And I think we've got a lot of great ideas here. And we've got ideas that work whether you're playing online or around an actual table. So let's get going. Got a lot of stuff to cover today. So I got a nice message from Matthew Haddon from Melbourne, Australia, who says, "This is a great question. My group is quite large with 8 players, most of which come every session. We only play once a month, so keeping them engaged and, more to the point, the story straight in their heads can be a challenge." And just as an aside here, Matthew and his group, they're playing Star Wars Saga Edition. So here are some things that I do to keep them interested in between sessions. First, I email a session recap, usually a week before the session. I sometimes put Easter eggs into this, like something they would have missed on a perception check or just a little more detail than I described. Number two, a news report. This lets the players know how they affected the world. "Hey, we're on the news," or "that explosion made the news." It also allows them to know how close they are to having the police close in on them, or how upset the politicians are by what they've done. So yeah, that's a great idea. You know, I talked a little bit about session recaps with Shane in episode 129. And Matthew is using those as well. And I love the idea of throwing in some Easter eggs, some things that maybe the player characters or the players missed in the last session, or some little gems for those that are actually reading the session updates, you know, to reward them for doing so. And I also really like this news report idea. That's going to be really easy to pull off in any kind of science fiction game or a modern game. Might be a little more challenging to do in a fantasy game, but you can totally do it. So Matthew has some more ideas. Number three, a cutscene. Sometimes I show them an event that they
never could have known, but that keeps them on the right track or confirms something they may have suspected. I try not to give much away because I heard once that mystery explained becomes mundane. So yeah, that's definitely something you can do. I would definitely consider your players for that. If you have players that have problems separating player knowledge from character knowledge, then you might want to be careful with showing them cutscenes that are giving information that their characters wouldn't have. I know, you know, from personal experience, some players are really good at keeping those two separate, and some players not so much. So if you have players that player knowledge tends to trickle down to character knowledge, you might want to be careful with the cutscene idea. Number four, a rules discussion. Sometimes if I totally mess up a rule, or I think one of the players are exploiting a rule, or something needs to be polished up, we can discuss the rules between sessions. This will usually keep the players engaged somewhat. Sometimes discussion about a rule set that we are not using and incorporating it in. Yeah, that's going to vary. Your results with this are going to vary with different players. I've known players who would be totally on board with getting into an involved rules discussion in between sessions. And I've known other players that would be a huge turnoff. So, you know, something I think that you want to keep in mind when you're considering all these different strategies of ways to kind of keep the game going in between sessions is be mindful of time constraints. Be mindful of your time constraints as a GM. You know, don't bite off more than you can chew, because remember, you need your time to prepare for the next session too. So you can't spend all your time, you know, with this kind of stuff. But the other thing to keep in mind is your players' time constraints. You know, so be very mindful of how much material you're sending to players in between sessions. Now, obviously, if like Matthew, you're only playing once a month, then you can get away with doing more between sessions than if you're playing once a week. But just, you know, keep in mind, how many emails are you sending to your players? How long are those emails? Because the more material you send them, the less likely that they're going to read all or even any of it. So, you know, maybe if a particular week or month or whatever, you're really light on in between session stuff, that might be a great time to have a rules discussion. If you think most or all of your players will be interested in that you've been wanting to have, definitely better than wasting at the table time on a discussion like that. But if you're already sending out, you know, cutscenes and information and recaps and all this stuff, I'd really consider whether the added word count of a rules discussion is really going to help you and how many of your players are really going to participate in that. All right, number five, getting players to tell me what they want. One player has done a great job of coming up with setting information, background information, and giving me tons of adventure seeds. So guess where we're going next? His home. There is adventure to be had. And yeah, that's a great thing that can be more player directed, right? You know, so some of these ideas like, you know, cutscenes and rules discussions and doing a news report and session recap, you know, this is all stuff you have to do as a GM and stuff that's going to take time on your part to write out and put out and everything. But the nice thing about this idea is this is on the players. So this is something that a player who wants to maybe explore their backstory more or wants to bring in an element of their backstory into the current story, the player can take the initiative to write something up and give it to you and put some time and thought into it. And now you as a GM kind of have, like Matthew said, you kind of have this adventure hook just waiting to be used, and you can just drop it into your story. That's another great thing, you know, to think about, you know, coming back to the time thing. Is, you know, who's got time? You know, if you're in a situation where you as a GM have a lot of free time, then, you know, you can do stuff that's more intensive on your end, like providing cut scenes and flashback scenes and things like that between sessions. But if you're in a situation where, you know, you don't have a ton of extra time, but some of your players do, then that's a great time to bring in one of these more player-directed strategies, like say, hey, why don't you write me something about something from your backstory that you'd like to see pulled into the story, and, you know, give me some hooks that I can work with. Number 7, I try not to put any pressure on players to participate between sessions. Some players just want to show up, play, and go home. They don't put anything into the between session discussion, and that's fine. But the players who put in more get the game centered around them. And yeah, you know, I would say that you're still putting pressure on the players. You're just using positive reinforcement instead of negative reinforcement. You're using the carrot instead of the stick. You're still putting pressure on them. You're just using a different strategy. And, you know, I think that that's definitely the way to go, especially if you have kind of a mix in your group where you have players that are really all about this stuff and other players not so much. I definitely wouldn't penalize players for not participating, but I think you definitely should reward players who do participate, which I guess from a certain point of view is penalizing those that don't. But one way to avoid that kind of getting too sticky is to try to have your rewards for the in-between session stuff be more story-based stuff. You know, don't so much award XP, because, you know, if you're playing a game like D&D and you're awarding XP for in-between session stuff, and say you've got one player who's all over it and always doing that stuff, and you've got another player who never does it, you eventually, over the course of a campaign, could end up with a power gap between those two characters if you're awarding XP for the in-between session stuff. Now, maybe you don't care about that. And if you don't care, then whatever. But if you're wanting to keep the player characters more equal as far as what level they are and things like that, just to make your life easier as a GM, then I wouldn't award XP for that. But you could award things like they can develop contacts with NPCs that they can use during a session for information or resources or things like that. Or like Matthew is saying here, if you're participating in the in-between session stuff, it's more likely that a given session is going to more focus on your character, which for most players is a reward in and of itself, getting that spotlight. And finally, Matthew says, I put heaps on Google Docs so things can be commented on and feedback provided for the whole group. And yeah, that's a great tool that you can use if all of your players are online a lot. You know, you can use Google Docs in order to have a document that everybody can read, and people, depending how you set it up, people can comment on it or they can even edit it and add to it. And that's one way that you can do that. So Matthew says, in summary, I try to do two things. One, have interesting things to talk about in between sessions. Two, create an environment where engagement and cooperative storytelling is encouraged. And three, keep the mystery and don't give too much away at the same time. Throw them a bone. So thank you so much, Matthew, for writing in. Those are all fantastic suggestions. And I think you're hitting it exactly. Like, you want to kind of find this sweet spot where you're providing some more information or maybe some more details or just providing information again, you know, because in a session, you know, a lot's going on and you might provide an important piece of information and it might just get forgotten because something exciting happened right after that. So, you know, these in-between session emails that you send out, the recaps are a great way to kind of hang a light on important pieces of information that you don't want the players to forget. But at the same time, you know, you've got to keep this balance with not giving too much away, not making it too easy. And, you know, one of my mantras is remembering ultimately that this is a game. And, you know, there's a tendency with some GMs these days to just, you know, they just want to hand everything to the players and they just want, you know, all these feel good moments at the table and just everybody gets what they want. And that might be an enjoyable experience for some people, but that's not really a game. And ultimately, you know, it's an RPG. The G is for game. So, you know, part of what makes a game fun is challenge. And so be careful, you know, when you're sending recaps that you're not making it too easy and you're not reminding the players of everything that they need to remember. Because in a way, if you're doing that, you're kind of just encouraging them to mentally check out during the game because they're like, oh, well, we don't need to pay attention because we're going to get a recap that's going to have everything important in it. So you definitely don't want to recap everything. Right. So you got to find that balance, and it's up to each GM to find the balance that works best for your particular group. My favorite part of the show is when I hear from listener GMs like you. If you have feedback for the show, whether it's a comment on today's topic or an idea for a future topic, I'd love to hear from you. There are a lot of great ways to get a hold of me. You can email me at gamemastersjourney@gmail.com, follow me on Twitter at Lex Starwalker, Google Plus Lex Starwalker, and finally, you can visit the website starwalkerstudios.com to get links to my Patreon page, YouTube channel, and more. All right, so returning to our topic of keeping your game going between sessions, David Howard wrote in, and he's got some ideas as well. He says, here are a few things that I've done that were more successful. The first is to write stories. I played in a Star Trek campaign for almost 15 years. We've gone through one generation of PCs and have moved into their children, etc., kind of a new generation of Starfleet. I love that. That sounds awesome. In the early days of the game, we played twice per year, the summer game and the winter game. Our sessions would be marathons of 10 to 12 hours at a time. One of the reasons the campaign has lasted so long is because in between sessions, we write stories about things that happened during the game itself. Things that happened as a direct result of the game, or also different points of view. Our GM will give hints of things he would like discussed, or ask for a particular character's point of view, or he'll answer questions about stuff, and then that prompts more stories. In addition to being quite fun, it's also really helped me, an originally non-Star Trek guy, to become a really big fan of Star Trek. Yeah, and that's awesome. And, you know, David here is talking about a campaign where they're only playing twice a year. So again, you know, kind of what I was saying in the first segment about, you know, the more time you have between sessions, the more you can do between sessions. So, you know, unless you have a table full of writers, you're probably not going to be super successful asking for short stories or flash fiction in between gaming sessions if you're playing every week. But if you're playing every month or a couple times a year, you can really have some success with that. And it's a great way to expand upon the player characters and their history and what's going on in their lives outside of the main narrative, and at the same time, kind of keep everybody engaged with the campaign and interested in it still, and kind of keeping it fresh in everyone's mind instead of, oh, I'm not going to think about this for 6 months and then I'll not remember anything when we get back together again. So David goes on to say, the only real downside is, of course, folks who don't really like to write or who aren't terribly prolific in their writing. Or, as one of my more irritated friends pointed out, if they believe the stories become more important than the game itself. As an aside, though, I have to disagree with the last point because the stories didn't become more important. They just helped keep everyone focused and creative and thinking about what we're doing, as opposed to simply walking away from the table with no thought about anything else. And yeah, that's a really great point. You know, not everybody's a writer. And this is something I've really noticed in the last few years because I've been running a lot of games online where it's kind of necessary to do more things over email and forums and like that. And there's definitely a very large spread in the amount of interaction you get from players in a text format when you're not around the virtual tabletop on camera. You know, you'll have players who will write these long involved backstories and will have in character kind of campfire side discussions in between sessions, you know, on one extreme. And on the other extreme, you'll have players that you'll never see a word from them in between sessions and everywhere in between. So, you know, if you're already up and running in a group, you're kind of, you know, you kind of have to deal with the reality as it is, right? And if you have, you know, maybe you're lucky and everybody loves to write and then it's not going to be an issue. But if you have kind of a spread between players, you know, you're going to have to manage that, you know, because if you're putting too much focus on the in-between session stuff, the players that don't participate in that might get annoyed. But if you're not putting enough focus on it, the players that do participate might get annoyed. Now, obviously, the ideal would be for you as a game master to understand and know where you're at on the spectrum and what you want from this campaign before you even start it, before you even get players, right? So let's say you're going to be running a campaign every week or every month or twice a year or whatever, and you want to implement these in-between session ideas. Well, I can tell you the more of your players that participate in this, the better it's going to work. If you've got four players and only two of them participate in the in-between session stuff, it's not going to be a great experience for your group. Much better if they all participated. So if this is something that you're wanting to do and you're planning your campaign and you haven't locked in players yet, when you start recruiting players, let the players know that this is what you want and this is what you expect. This is exactly what I did with my Tyranny of Dragons campaign way back when I started that. When I posted my post on Roll20 on their forum looking for players, I made it very clear that I wanted players who would be active in the forums in between sessions and who would be active in between sessions. I guess that's all there is to it. And I actually made my initial post fairly long, and I asked that people read the entire thing before they applied. And then somewhere towards the last part of it, I made a request and I asked specific questions to be answered when people applied. And this was a test. Basically, if you didn't answer those questions, then either you A, didn't read the whole post, which to me is a good sign that you're not going to be one of those players that participates much in between sessions on the forums and whatnot, or B, you read it and you didn't follow directions, in which case, you know, you're just not the kind of player I want to play with, frankly. So it was amazing how well that worked as a way to easily weed out like 90% of the people who wanted to play, because this was in the early days of 5th edition. So I had tons of responses, tons of people wanting to play. And just by looking for the ones that actually answered the questions I asked, I was able to weed out over 90% of the applicants right there without even having to deal with them. So, you know, my point is your campaign will be much more successful if you as a GM know what you want and what you expect from your players ahead of time, and you make that clear to the players, and you only have players in your game who are going to play ball. So if you're wanting to do a lot of this in-between session stuff, let your players know. Say, hey, I'm going to be sending out emails. I want you to write stories or whatever. And say, if you're honestly not going to participate in this or enjoy this, this probably isn't the campaign for you. So what David is talking about here, especially for a game where you're only meeting once or twice a year, is a fantastic way to do it, to have, you know, these stories generated in between sessions to keep the story going and allow there to be more to the story than just what you can cover in a couple marathon sessions a year. But that would work even better if, and I don't know whether this happened or not, but if David's GM at the very beginning, when he was getting people on board to play, said, this is what we're going to be doing. This is what I expect. If you're not going to participate in this, then this isn't the game for you. And then hopefully all of the players are contributing those stories, at least somewhat. I think it would look or work a lot better. And, you know, something that I found kind of interesting in David's message here is where he was talking about, you know, some of the players were irritated because they felt like the stories in between the sessions were more important than the sessions itself. So this to me seems to be a disconnect between expectations, right? Like these players, to me, it seems like they didn't realize that this was going to be part of what was going on. But to me, it's kind of like, well, duh. You know, if you're only getting together to play twice a year and you're doing stuff in between that, writing stories, I would hope that those stories would be more important than what you're doing twice a year. You know, that's 2 months a year that you game, and there's 10 other months in the year that you're supposedly writing stories. So I would hope that that would be more important. You know what I mean? So obviously there's a disconnect here where you have some of the players that are all about writing the stories, and you have other players that aren't. And, you know, again, you know, this is something that we always come back to on this show, but to get the most out of your gaming experience, you need to curate your players, and you need to find players that align well with not only just your own style as a GM and the kind of games you like to run, but also how you run your games and what you want to see from your players, like things in between sessions. So if you're the kind of GM and you like to see this, if you're running online and you like players who are active on your forums in between the sessions, then make that clear and only accept those players. And the other nice thing is if you establish all this ahead of time and then you have a player who's not living up to the agreement, then you have an agreement that you can reference and you could say, hey, if you remember when I posted about this game in the very beginning, I said that this is what was expected and you're not doing it. So I need you to either live up to what you agreed to do, or, you know, you're just not going to work out for this game. And that's a lot easier to do. And you won't feel so bad doing it if this was something that everybody knew about and agreed to ahead of time. All right, so back to David's email. The second idea I've used is just keeping the lines of communication open. Email is a great way for spreading ideas or asking questions or getting folks to think about their PCs. Even texting can be helpful. Sadly, this doesn't often work as much as I would like because once the email is sent, you can never tell when you will get a reply or when a question or thought will just hang out there all alone. When it really works, though, it's cool because you can get some things squared away pretty quickly and give or earn some XP in the process. And again, I'll point out that there are pros and cons to awarding XP for this kind of stuff that I already talked about. When I'm GMing, I tend to use email and or text messages for things that I want to know so I can use player input for plot hooks or to just clarify things or to give some one-on-one character-focused time. I sat in a seminar one day texting with one of my Dresden Files players and we ended up revamping his PC and discussing some of the things behind his aspects to make them work better. Yeah, and these are all great ideas. And in addition to email or text messaging, another great method that works fantastically that is very similar to text messaging, but probably works better for people who are playing online and don't necessarily personally know everybody in the group, is the Google Hangouts app, the message app. And it works exactly like a text message. And just like in text messaging, you can send a message to just one player, or you can send a message to the entire group. So you can, on the Messenger app, have a discussion with the entire group where everybody gets all of the texts and everybody can participate, or you can have private discussions with the players. And, you know, you can have this app on your computer, you can get it on your phone so that, you know, if you're waiting in line at the bank, you can text with one of your players about their character or whatever. So that's a super great way that you can do it too. David's third idea is just to sort of play in the car or while you're getting coffee or something. If you have folks that are interested, you can have a conversation about the game, the PCs, plots, wish lists, etc. Yeah, and this works really great when you're gaming with people that you know in real life that you also hang out with outside of the game. So maybe you and one of the players are seeing a movie together, or you're eating together, or maybe you work together or whatever. And those are great times where you can discuss things in game. And those are great times to handle things specific to that character that maybe you don't want to spend a lot of time with at the session, you know? And that's another kind of just an aside here. You know, if you're looking for things that you can do in between sessions, pay attention when you're running the game. Anytime that something happens with a specific player and you have the feeling of, I'm really digging this and I'd really like to do more with this, but I don't feel that I should because it only involves this one player and everybody else is just sitting there. Those are great things to return to in between the sessions. And you can even say to the player, hey, I like this scene. I like what's happening here, but let's pause this and go back to something everybody can participate in. And we'll develop this more, you and I, in between the sessions. And that's a great way to do it. So David says, ultimately, I think it's about rewarding players who demonstrate interest. Give them XP for writing something in character or about their character, and let them know it's important. Let them know that you, as GM, want to work with them to make their time at the table more enjoyable, and as players, they help you do that by giving you material to work with. Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, this not only can be good for the players to help enrich their characters, but it can be good for you as a GM and good for the story overall, because it can give you more things to work with, more elements that you can pull into the main narrative. I think the thing that makes a tabletop RPG the most enjoyable for everyone at the table, whether you're the GM or a player, is immersion. And one great way to increase immersion in your games is to have great audio. If you're looking for great tabletop audio for your RPG, check out battlebards.com. They have everything from monster sounds and languages to spell effects to music, original, beautiful music that you can have playing in the background while your player character seduces the love of his life or while your party fights giants or goblins. Head on over to starwalkerstudios.com/support and you'll find my coupon codes that you can use on your first order to get some free bonus tracks. So check it out and take your tabletop gaming experience to the next level with battlebards.com. So in addition to great emails on this topic, there are also a lot of great comments on the discussion on this topic in the Game Master's Journey community. So I thought I would share some of those with you today. Matt Martinez says, Aaron Alston of the Strike Force RPG discussed a method of away from table play called blue booking. He would give his players those blue essay exam books and have them write about what their characters did in between sessions. When email became more prevalent, he switched to that medium. So yeah, that can be a great prompt that you can use to try to solicit this stuff from your players is say, hey, why don't you tell me, you know, we've got some downtime between, you know, what we're doing this session and what we're going to do next session. Tell them how much downtime they have and say, let me know what you're doing. And they could, you know, they could write it in a blue book, although I think it's going to be rare that you're going to find someone that wants to do that these days. But they could send it to you in an email or a text or share it on your forum if you have a forum, things like that. Manny Brum wrote in and said you could have the characters belong to a guild or faction like the Harpers, where they are sent out on one-off missions that may have an overarching story. I plan on doing this to some extent after Curse of Strahd when the characters go back to Faerun. My plan is to have them join a faction, but I have a feeling they won't bite on that. They've already been doing work off the books for a faction agent, but we'll have to see. I really like campaigns where you do side quests and let the main story arc form naturally based on what happens. For instance, if a bad guy gets away, that may figure into the plot later, or if the players really get into investigating something that's going on that was originally just a side quest. If you throw a main quest at the players, they may never actually do it, and you don't want to force it on them. So this works for story and for small sessions that can stand alone, but taken together to tell a full story. And yeah, that's a great way to handle it and to get kind of a more sandbox feel in your campaign is in addition to your main story arc or instead of a main story arc, just throw lots of side quests and opportunities for side quests at them. Me personally, I like doing a combination of the two. I usually have a main story that I'm wanting to tell, but at the same time, I like to have side things going on too. And I think I actually got this from the White Wolf books from the old World of Darkness games back in the day. This idea of always giving your players more to do than they have time to do. And I don't know, it makes the game feel more realistic because the players and the characters have to decide what are we going to do instead of, you know, well, we have this one thing that the GM gave us to do, so that's what we're going to do. It's like, well, we have 10 things that we could do, and it's maybe not obvious which one the GM quotes wants us to do. So what are we going to do? And it lets the players decide. It lets the players, you know, guide that narrative. And then you can always have things in those side quests or those side plots that lead them back into the main plot. That's what the pros do. Dean Overland wrote in and said, "This is why I love playing modern or near modern games such as Shadowrun. When a player can't make it to a session, there are plenty of in-character excuses for not being present. I have players make in-character recordings that the players listen to as a voicemail. In one example, a player left a message indicating that he was stuck in traffic." And that's a great idea. And, you know, it is a lot easier to pull that stuff off with a modern game or a sci-fi game where this kind of technology is available. And, you know, that's awesome. If you can have an actual recording from the player that isn't there that adds something to your session, that's a great idea. John Marvin wrote in too and said, "Years ago, I created a few wikis for different campaigns where the players could add content as well as I could add content. I gave out XP if they posted to it. And people got busy, and soon I was not the only person posting on the wiki, but the only person who looked at it. Wiki fail." yeah, that can happen. "I've done better with asking for email from the character's point of view and giving small bonuses for doing the email. In my current group, I have one player who likes to write, so she is the only one engaged with creation, but I think everyone enjoys what she writes." And that's a great point too. You know, as long as you're not getting carried away with the rewards that you're giving for this to where the other players are getting disgruntled because one player's character is five levels higher than everyone else because she does all this writing in between games. As long as you're not doing that, you know, just because everybody doesn't participate in the writing doesn't mean that everybody can't enjoy what that writing adds to the game. And that's a great point. "We now use Facebook events to schedule, and the email write-ups have migrated to Facebook posts. Other good venues for this is making a Google community or using Roll20 or Obsidian Portal." Yeah, and at the end of the show, I'm going to give various tools that you can use for this kind of thing. And if you head to the show notes for episode 131 at StarWalkerStudios.com, I'll have links to all that stuff, and you can check out all these various tools that are out there for all this stuff. "I have a great group of players, but as you say, few adults like to write. When I worked at a big company and gamed with people who worked with me there, I would drop Call of Cthulhu handouts into their mail slots. I think it made their day to get taunting messages from the skinless one mixed in with corporate memos." What a fantastic idea. If you're in a position where you can do something like that, go for it. That's awesome. "When you're hanging out with a player, say having coffee, you can do a flashback or give the PC some information that will be useful in the next session." Yes, absolutely. And if we're talking like, say, D&D, for example, when you're just hanging out with a player doing something else, that's a great time to talk about magic items they want to create or spells they want to research or followers they want to recruit or items they want to craft, things like that. Things that they want to do with their character that don't really involve the rest of the group, but, you know, require some collaboration with you as the GM. Those are great things to talk about anytime that you can when you guys are hanging out. So to kind of add to all this, I really like the idea of creating more role-playing opportunities for players by doing preludes, like in the old World of Darkness games. Which is where before you get together for the first session, you do a little mini session with each individual character where you kind of set up their character, you go through their backstory, and you kind of just hit a few highlights. Those are great ways that you can set up things during this prelude that you can come back to in between sessions that are these little agendas that the player characters have going on the side that don't involve the whole group. And also you can do the same thing with interludes and flashbacks then between the sessions and continuing these stories that you start in the prelude. This can be a great way to develop individual player characters, especially in larger groups, which by nature have each character getting less spotlight during the game. And I would say the bigger your group is, the more you should be doing these things in between sessions. If you've got more than three or four players in your group, I think it's almost required to do this kind of stuff because otherwise either no one's character is really ever going to get developed or a few characters will get really well developed and the others won't. And neither of those are situations that are really desirable. You can even do these interludes in between sessions with more than one player, whichever players are available. So maybe, you know, you meet up with a couple of the players or a few of the players between sessions, and not everybody can make it, but a few of them can. You can come up with something that you can do with just those characters that will help the group as a whole when everybody gets back together. Now, again, one thing you really want to think about here is how you're going to reward and motivate players to participate while at the same time not inadvertently penalizing those who don't participate too much. I mean, obviously, if you're going to reward people for participating, you are penalizing people for not participating because they're not getting those rewards. So you just want to be mindful of how big of a dichotomy is that? You know, how large is the spread between the characters that are doing the stuff in between sessions and the ones that aren't? You know, if a given player is always able to do stuff between sessions and another player is never able to, are you going to end up with a pretty big difference in power level or resources or usefulness to the party between those two characters? And, you know, that's probably something that usually you want to avoid. I think the best rewards would be ones that add richness to the character and to the game, while at the same time not necessarily being a direct power-up for that character. So things, again, like NPC contacts that you gain during out-of-session play can be contacts that you use during the session for information or for healing or for transportation or someone to hide you if the authorities are looking for you, things like that. You know, you could develop the relationships with those NPCs in between sessions so that during the session, you can call upon those NPCs for help and the whole group benefits from that, not just the one character. Other rewards like this could be information that you learn while you're doing things in between sessions or downtime activities that you accomplish, like researching a spell, building a magic item, things like that. Now, again, those are kind of more power-ups, just like giving XP. So you want to be careful and you want to think about what you're doing. And again, I'm not saying don't give XP in between sessions. I'm saying think about what you're doing. Another possible problem with the interlude idea is that it does require more time from the GM. And what if the GM is the one or one of the ones who's too busy? So sometimes it's hard enough to run a game every week, much rather get together with the players in between sessions, even if you're doing it over something like Hangouts or Skype. So ultimately, I think different strategies are going to work better for different people and different groups at different times too. So, you know, the strategies that work for you and your group could change back and forth over time, depending on who's busy and who's not. So, you know, the more ideas we can pull together here, the better, because the more likely one of them's going to work for you. Mike Gressler wrote in and said, "My players and I do this constantly. It adds to their backgrounds and goals and immerses them into the story more. We have a campaign that's been going on for well over a year. I've been on hiatus for several months due to family stuff, but they all want to continue the story soon. I can't wait to continue it myself." And see, that's a great sign right there, right? They've been on hiatus for a while, several months, and everybody is still interested. Everybody's still wanting to play. Where I would be willing to bet that if they weren't doing anything in between sessions and had been a few months, there'd be less interest and not everybody wants to play anymore because people are like, I've moved on. G. Ferg weighed in and said, "Well, for my groups, there's always an element of chaos to it." Yes, this is often true. Older dudes with families and whatnot. So what we've done is to have everyone have multiple agendas, like with the downtime bits, which is why I really like downtime. It basically gives a little framework for players to have other agendas. So if a player can't make it, usually we tie it to one of a couple other agendas. If it's mid-adventure, the GM usually takes over in a limited capacity until the character can check out of the story. So yeah, that's a great point. You know, have player characters who have goals and agendas above and beyond whatever the group as a whole is working on. And then that's something you can do in between sessions with those individual players. And like G. Ferg is saying here, it's a great way to explain when a given player character isn't there for a given session. Oh, they're off working on this other agenda or goal that they have. And then you and that player can take care of that before the next session. What happened with that? G. Ferg says, as for engagement, I find the reward system works best. So if players look for art or make some art about the game or their character or write up something or whatever, I give them something to reward them. It used to be XP, now it's dice, like Bardic Inspiration, that they can use in game. I find that sometimes helps keeps them interested in between sessions. And that's a great way that you can do this. You know, if you're trying to avoid giving away XP in between sessions, is give out inspiration or give out Bardic Inspiration dice or something similar to that. Have you checked out the Game Master's Journey community on Google Plus yet? The Game Master's Journey community is a great place to bounce ideas back and forth with other listener GMs. You can comment on the show episodes, share your own homebrew world, and ask questions of the many experienced GMs that are a part of our community. So I hope you'll check out our community, and I hope you'll join us there. You can find a link to the Game Master's Journey community in the show notes for this episode over at starwalkerstudios.com/Game Master's Journey. I have some more ideas from listeners. Brent Nilsson wrote in and said, "Funny, I've been thinking about this very topic for a couple weeks. These are some great ideas. I've been wrestling with the dilemma of player schedules for years and have tried a few of the basic methods to keep the story going, text messages, email, etc. I really like the idea of using something like a forum, especially something as simple as Google Hangouts, to keep the game going when we can't all get together. All of my games over the last 15 years have been virtual anyway, so continuing some elements of the story during offline hours is a great workaround. I haven't considered the Roll20 forums as an option, but that's something I'll have to look into as well. The idea of each character having their own side quests or objectives really stands out as a promising concept. That can go a really long way toward providing character development outside of the main story." Yeah, totally. And again, at the end of the show, I'll talk about some of the various places where you can put a forum together for your game and stuff like that, and kind of pros and cons of the various things that are out there. So Brett runs a game that I've been playing in. I play a dwarven war cleric in Brett's game, and he's been doing some of this in-between session stuff, and we used Google Docs for this, which worked pretty well. So my character is a brewer and is a member of the Brewers Guild, and so Brett came up with this whole little kind of side thing for me that we did completely during in-between sessions, using a Google document, where I basically, one of the apprentices or journeymen, I can't remember, but one of the younger people in the Brewers Guild was brewing a beer for this fall festival that was coming up and totally screwed it up. And so the guild came to me and said, "Hey, we need you to brew an emergency batch of beer for the festival." And it was, you know, quite a bit of role-playing, some skill checks, stuff like that. Had nothing to do with the story that the group was a part of. Really had nothing to do with any of the other player characters. Didn't really have any impact on my character as far as bonuses or XP or anything like that. But was something fun that we could do in between sessions and really helped flesh out some aspects of my character, my relationship with various people in the guild, and was a lot of fun and kind of, I'm sure, provided some hooks for Brett that he could use in the future using various NPCs that were established in the Brewers Guild and things like that. So we had a lot of fun with that. Boz Bunnick wrote in and says, "I have to admit, I have not been able to get my PCs to do enough of this stuff in between sessions." Yeah, that can be a problem. "But I think I might start doing it and get some of them to be more invested in their characters. The godly inventions, like dreams, visions that you address to make gods more interesting parts of a setting or campaign, might also be one of the things that you could use." Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think I mentioned in episode 129 the idea of using dream sequences. These are great things that you can do in between sessions, have a player character have a dream. And the dream could be completely, you know, not have any meaning, or it could be prophetic, or it could give hints about something that's coming, or maybe give a hint about something important that the player character has forgotten about or the player has forgotten about. And kind of in that same vein, you can do visions sent from a deity. So if you have a player playing a cleric or a paladin, they could get visions or dreams from their deity that you could handle in between sessions. And those could tie into just very character-focused things for that character that leads to things that you can do with that player in between sessions, or it could provide information or something that can be used by the entire group in the next session. DM Nell says, one way to encourage in-between game session activity is to send out a newspaper from your campaign world that provides story seeds, adventure ideas, and insight into the world. And this is a great idea. And unlike, you know, some of the other ideas that we've talked about today that work better for science fiction or a modern setting, this works equally well in a fantasy setting. As long as you're in a city and you're not in the middle of nowhere, your fantasy setting could totally have newspapers. Why not? There's magic. They could have a magical printing press, right? Why not? Or magical quills that just scribe newspapers or something like that. You could figure out a way to make it work. The players that are interested will pick up on those ideas and reach out to the DM. Those who aren't will likely ignore the newspaper. I had a lot of fun doing this for one of my campaigns, but it took time and effort, which I just don't have these days. Yeah, and that's, you know, a thing with this. You know, this is one of those ideas or one of those methods that will require quite a bit of time from you as a GM to do this, because you're going to have to write up this newsletter and format it and mail it out and all that good stuff. But if you have the time and the energy and the will and the desire to do it, it'd be super cool. And, you know, you can use that newspaper to provide side quests and, you know, leads into things that could turn into quests or whole storylines just by stories and things that are reported in the newspaper. DM Nell says, I use email as my primary communication vehicle in between sessions, though it's not my favorite. I like using forums such as the ones on Roll20, but as Lex mentions in his podcast, getting players to use them is difficult. So I found people to be more responsive when I email them directly. I have also used text messages for communications, but I find if I spread my communications among too many things, I lose track of them. So I try to keep it to email. It's not optimal, but it seems to work best for everyone in my group. I'd love an app that had a dice roller built in it to replace email. So yeah, that's a great point. And not only does keeping focused on one kind of vehicle for this in-between session stuff, not only does that help you as a GM, it helps the players too. You know, if you're using a Facebook group for some of the stuff and your Roll20 forum for some of the stuff and, you know, text messaging for some of the stuff and email for some of the stuff, like, things are going to get lost. Things are going to fall between the cracks. So I agree with DM now. I think you should think about it and focus on one or two tools that you're going to use and just use those. Or better yet, find one tool that does everything that you need. So right here, DM Nell's last sentence here, he says he'd love an app that had a dice roller built in to replace email. And DM Nell, there is an app like that for you, and it's free. And I already talked about it. The Google Hangouts Messenger app, you can roll dice in that using the standard commands that you use in a lot of online dice rollers, you know, slash roll 1d20 plus 3, for instance. You can type that right into your chat box in the Google chat and it will roll dice for you. You're not going to be able to do complicated things like rolling with advantage and things like that, but your basic dice rolls, you can totally do in that. So there you go. Kyle Henderson wrote in and says, I encourage my players to come up with detailed backstories. This started with a handout I created nearly 15 years ago for one of the first games I DM'd for. The questionnaire has a lot of history information in it, including family, where are they born, things like that. But it also has small things to get inside their character's head, like what do you have in your pockets right now? Extra buttons or string for your trousers? Fishing line? A small collection of pebbles picked up from the lakes or rivers of each city you visited? A letter from your uncle? What does it say? I'm really into story and role play, and information like this is useful to think about. So yeah, that's a great idea. You know, send out questionnaires. Ask your players questions. You know, if, you know, it kind of depends. Are you doing this at the beginning, like a session zero kind of activity, or is this something you're doing in between sessions? If you're doing it in between sessions, maybe just send out one question in between each session and have everybody answer it. So Kyle says that he uses Facebook to keep track of all this stuff, to schedule sessions and have discussions in between sessions. And that's definitely one tool you can use. And he says another thing that he uses is OneNote, Microsoft OneNote. I've created a shareable OneNote notebook for each of the PCs and shared them with each respective player. Here we have tabs for physical description, history, which is the questionnaire information, goals, notes, where I can share secret notes and things like that, the character arc and character sheets, things like that. In addition to the character notebooks, I also have a communal OneNote notebook that I am assembling that is shared with everyone and acts as a sort of campaign setting guide or wiki. This notebook includes places, world history, governments, organizations, campaign notes, and a list of NPCs. I encourage my players to help build the world all the time and have had their help in designing the culture and societies of the various races, designing cities, and creating magical and historical items of interest, all of which is getting added to the campaign setting notebook. There you go. And at the end of the show, when I talk about various tools that you can use, I'll talk some more about OneNote. But OneNote is a fantastic tool for this kind of thing. It can kind of almost do everything. Stuart Goheen wrote in and said, I've used Obsidian Portal for a few years now. Even when a game went on hiatus for some time, just a few messages and forum posts got everyone back in the swing of things. A few players enjoyed the campfire tales, the ability to ask rules or character questions when not at the table. It also allows me to push out info to individuals for personal agendas as well as individual research. Michael O'Connor wrote in and said, Hi Lex, longtime listener, first time poster. I did try to do something in between sessions where I ran an Eberron game a few years ago. The PCs were in Sharn, and since some cities of Eberron have a sort of newspaper, I created an NPC reporter that reported on the PCs' activities. I did this on Obsidian Portal to keep it all together. The articles were my way of providing a way for the PCs to look back and see what they've done previously, and as a way for their characters to see the effect they were having on the city. My intention was for this to lead to them becoming kind of famous and the NPC reporter doing interviews with them, not to mention drawing them into her own problems for further down the road plot hooks. That sounds awesome, Michael. Yeah, that's, again, you know, this idea of doing a newspaper or a newsletter. And I like Michael's spin on it here, where you develop an actual NPC reporter that the player characters can have a relationship with. If it's a good relationship, then maybe, you know, the stories will have more of a positive slant. If it's a bad relationship, then maybe it'll have more of a negative slant. See pretty much every comic book hero for more details. All right. So I want to thank everyone who submitted ideas on this topic. We've had a lot of great ideas, covered a lot of ground, and I think that we've given you a lot to work with, a lot to think about, and lots of different tools that you can use for your group to keep things going between sessions, keep interest high. And again, these work especially well if you have to have an extended downtime for some reason, like maybe somebody's getting married or going on vacation or whatever. You know, sometimes you'll have a few weeks or even months where you can't get together in game. And these are all great ways that you can keep everybody interested, keep everybody engaged, so that first of all, everybody wants to keep playing 3 months down the road when you can all get together again and people haven't lost interest. And also so that when you do get together again, everybody's kind of remembers what's going on and it's still excited about what's going on, instead of nobody, including the GM, remembers what's going on anymore. So I've had quite a few people mention, you know, quite a few different tools that you can use. So I thought here at the end of the show, I would kind of go over some of the tools that I've used and some of the pros and cons of these. And again, if you head to the show notes for this episode at starwalkerstudios.com, I'll have links for all the stuff if you can't find it on your own. So as far as resources that you can use for in-between session play, the first one I want to talk about is Google Plus. And Google Plus is an amazing resource for this, and I use it myself, and I love Google Plus. It's very well suited for this kind of thing. So first off, you can make a Google Plus community for your group. And this is a great central location where you can post anything you want to it, and all the players will be able to see it. You can post art. You can post links to videos or embed videos right in there. You know, any kind of information, you can post it in there. You can set up categories so that the players can easily find the different types of posts. So maybe you have an NPCs category where you write up about the various NPCs that they meet. Maybe you have an in-character category for players that want to post things in character in between sessions. So this can serve the purpose of a campaign forum for you. And you can also use Google Plus to schedule your games. So you can schedule using the Google Events, and then anyone who has Google Calendar, either on their computer or on their phone, will get notifications to remind them that the game is coming. And yeah, it's a great way to keep everybody on the same page. And as I also mentioned during the show, you can use the Google Messenger or Google Hangouts. It's kind of confusing because Google Hangouts is at the same time the Hangouts that probably most of us think about, where, you know, the video Hangouts that you can actually use to play your game, but it's also refers to the text messenger. So I have a link to the Google Communities where you can go check that out, and you can just click the blue Create Community button, and it's super easy to make a community for your game and focus, you know, collect everything in one place. You can also run your game on Google Hangouts if you're doing it online and you don't need a virtual tabletop and you're just doing Theater of the Mind. You can run your game on Google Hangouts. They have a dice roller app that you can use on Hangouts. And also, as I mentioned before, in the text messenger, you can make dice rolls within that as well too. So that's really nice if you're using the text messenger to communicate with players in between sessions, and maybe a player character is talking to an NPC and you want them to make a skill check, they can make it right in the messenger right there. You can see what they rolled, and it's super easy to use. Also, speaking of Google, another great tool that they provide is Google Docs. So this is a great tool to use if you want to share a document with the players and give them the ability to add to it or comment on it. So this can be great if you want almost like a play-by-post kind of experience where you send out a document and the individual players can respond to it. Google Docs can be a great way to do that. I'm a big fan of the various Google tools, and you can use the Google Plus community for your game. You can schedule using the events in the calendar. And then, you know, anybody that's got the Google Calendar on their phone, which is pretty much any Android phone, I think, is going to have that information with them and get reminders and things like that. And you can use your community to share ideas and do the in-between session stuff. You can use the Google Hangouts messages for text messages and doing dice rolling in between sessions. And you can use the video Hangouts to actually do your sessions if you're playing a game that will work well with that and you're playing online. So Google isn't the only ones putting out great tools that we can use for our games in between sessions. Another place that you can go is Roll20. And you've probably heard of Roll20. It's a virtual tabletop. So obviously, if you're wanting to play something like Pathfinder, where you need a grid and miniatures and things like that, you're going to be much better suited by Roll20 than something like Google Hangout that doesn't have the virtual tabletop element to it, although you can roll, you can run Roll20 within a Google Hangout. So that's yet another possibility, because Roll20's video conferencing isn't the greatest. Hangouts is much better, much more reliable. So you can use Roll20's virtual tabletop, but use Google Hangouts better video conferencing and do it that way. But one thing nice about Roll20, in addition to the virtual tabletop, is it also gives you a forum. So if you're wanting a forum for your campaign, that's a great place where you can get one for free. And, you know, I've had campaigns where I only use Roll20 just for the forum, and we weren't playing online at all, or we weren't using Roll20 for the virtual tabletop, but they've got decent forums. They're easy to use and set up. So you can check out Roll20. Also, as mentioned earlier in the show, there's Microsoft OneNote, which is a phenomenal program that I feel like every week I find something new and cool I can do with OneNote that I didn't know I could do. And you can use this software in so many different ways. You can set up a notebook as your campaign setting notebook, and you can keep track of everything in there. It's really easy to organize stuff into sections and pages and chapters and all this stuff. And everything is active. So you can copy paste from, say, a wiki. So let's say you're running in Forgotten Realms and you want to copy paste some information about Silvery Moon from a wiki. Not only can you just easily paste that in the OneNote, but it's going to have a link that will take you back to that source page if you ever need to go back for more information. You can also, in the same document, you can have audio, you can have video, you can have images, you can pull in text from all different programs. You can kind of do it all kinds of multimedia stuff in OneNote. You can also share a notebook with your players and give them various rights where maybe they can just look at it, or maybe they can add to it. And this can be a great way to handle your in-between session stuff as well. It can also be a great way to share basically a wiki or a campaign setting book for your campaign world. It's very easy within OneNote to create internal links, just like a wiki. So, you know, you can be, if you're doing like your campaign setting book on OneNote, you know, you can have, you know, you're talking about your high elves, you can have that link to the page that's all about high elves, and the player can just click on that and read all about high elves. And you can have all kinds of fun with internal links and, of course, external links. You can link to web pages and just all kinds of stuff. Now, you can get OneNote for free and use it for free, and we'll be able to do everything that you need to do with the free version. There's also a paid version of OneNote that you get with Microsoft Office that has a few bells and whistles than the free one does. So if you have the paid version already because you have Office, I would definitely use the paid version. Don't use the free online version. But if you don't, the free version will be fine for your purposes, and they're completely compatible. So if you start using the free OneNote and you build your notebooks and everything, and you're really loving it, and you're like, you know, I want the full version, you can get the full version and transfer everything over super easy. Another possible tool that you can use for these kinds of things is Obsidian Portal. Obsidian Portal has been around for a while. It's getting a little long in the tooth, a little dated looking, but that can be something that you can use for a forum for your group, as well as a wiki for your campaign or your campaign setting. The forum is not as nice, I would say, as Roll20's, and the wiki functionality is not as nice or as user-friendly as OneNote. So I would say if you've never used Obsidian Portal before, I wouldn't recommend it. I would recommend using Roll20 or Google Hangouts or OneNote or a combination of those, because Obsidian Portal is kind of dated and it's not super user-friendly. It's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of finicky and involved to set up. But if you're already using Obsidian Portal, and you know how to use it, then I'd keep using it. It's a great way that you can do your forums and your wiki if you're already know how to use it. But if you don't, I would recommend one of the other tools over Obsidian Portal personally. And finally, there's Facebook. You can make a group on Facebook and you can do a lot of the same things that you can do with the Google Plus community. You can schedule games on there. You can have, you know, in-character conversations there. Facebook has its own messenger that you can use. So you're going to have a lot of the same things that you have with Google Plus, with Facebook. Some of the big differences are, you know, you're not going to have any kind of a video conferencing capability. So if you're wanting to play online and you're not wanting to use something like Roll20, you have to use Skype or something else. And it's Facebook. So to me, that's a downside in and of itself. But if you're okay with using Facebook and you're comfortable using Facebook and your players are, then that's a possibility as well too. And finally, that would be my last point to make here is, you know, if these different tools are new to you, maybe talk with your players and see if they have any preferences, you know, before you make a decision. Because, you know, if all your players are using Facebook and none of them use Google Plus, it'll probably be easier to use Facebook and have them participate than to try to get them to use a whole new type of social media. But at the end of the day, I mean, you're the GM and the buck stops here, right? If you want to use Google Plus, then use Google Plus. You know, it's as simple as that. Use what's going to work best for you. But if you're kind of like you don't care, maybe go with what the most players are comfortable with or already using. So there you go. You've got Google Plus community. You can pretty much do everything you need there, including rolling dice and having text conversations, sharing all kinds of media, scheduling and calendar and all that stuff, as well as the actual game sessions you can run on Google Plus. You also have Roll20, where if you need a virtual tabletop, that's what I would definitely recommend. You can also use the Google Hangouts video conferencing within Roll20 instead of their not as good video conferencing, although it's slowly getting better. So depending how far in the future you are listening to this, they may be equal by the time you hear this. Who knows? They are slowly, glacially improving their chat. And there's also OneNote, which, you know, at first glance seems more of a GM tool to help you organize all your stuff. But you can make a notebook that you share with your players. And it's a great way to set up a wiki for your campaign setting or for the adventure and share information with players that way. And also there's Obsidian Portal, which you can use for a wiki and a forum, and Facebook that you can use similar to the Google Plus community, where you can connect with your players, create a Facebook group and schedule and things like that. So there are some tools. All these things are free to use, or at least can be used free. Oh, that reminds me, speaking of Roll20, there is a space limitation on Roll20 with a free account, and it is pretty limiting. So if you are planning to use a lot of images, if you're wanting to upload a lot of art for your players to see and things like that, then I would highly recommend that you use a Google Plus community, which has no space limitation whatsoever, as opposed to Roll20. If you're just looking for something to give you like a forum-like experience, I would highly recommend a Google Plus community over Roll20 if you're not wanting to pay every month. All right, so there's some of the tools I've used. And as for what I'm using right now, I use a Google Plus community to schedule my online games because I love it, because it interacts with calendar and events. So I get notifications on my phone. I can look on my phone and see who's coming to the session and who's not. We kind of go back and forth whether we use Roll20 or Google Hangouts for the actual video. If I am feeling like I can get away with not using any kind of virtual tabletop during the session, I much prefer Google Hangouts because their video conferencing is much better and more reliable. But if I'm going to want to use a virtual tabletop, then I use Roll20. We do use the Roll20 forum. And I personally use OneNote. So all my Primordia stuff, I keep track of in OneNote. I don't actually use it to share with the players. Instead, I use the forum on Roll20 or the Google Plus community for that. But that's how I do it. So I hope that this episode has been helpful to you, and I hope you come away from this with some new ideas of things that you can try to keep things going in between your sessions. And something I want to point out here at the very end is all of these suggestions that listeners have sent in are things that these GMs have tried and that have worked. I wasn't looking for theoretical ideas of things that you could do. I was looking for things that GMs have actually done in the past that work for them. So this stuff's been play tested. So if something sounds like it will work well with your group, I strongly encourage you to give it a shot and let me know how it goes. It'd be kind of fun someday in a future episode to revisit this with some feedback from those of you that have maybe tried some of these things for the first time and how they worked for you and whether you feel that it's adding to your gaming experience and enriching your campaign for everyone. So I hope that you have a chance to play your favorite RPG this week. I'll be back soon with another episode of Game Master's Journey. Until then, game on.
This has been a Starwalker Studios production, your source for quality gaming and hobby podcasts.
This episode's music, courtesy of Cloudwalker, Transboy, Renfield, Stanko, and Ish. See the show notes for more details at starwalkerstudios.com/gamemastersjourney.